Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 1. Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring out of every ten to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining nine were to stay in their own towns. The people commended all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. These are the provincial leaders who settled in Jerusalem. Now some Israelites, priests, Levites, temple servants, and descendants of Solomon's servants lived in the towns of Judah, each on his own property and in the various towns, while other people from both Judah and Benjamin lived in Jerusalem. We're kind of coming to the conclusion of Nehemiah's story, and what's happened, we've kind of segued from the commitment of the people and the kind of consecration of the people to the Lord with the new temple and the calling of them again from exile and the recognition that they need to be a special people, a separate people, a people that are holy to God. In the midst of this, as you often find in Ezra and Nehemiah, you have these kind of little vignettes, these little insights as to how things were organized. It might sound like it's a really great idea to live in Jerusalem to the likes of us, because, you know, here's this new city. It's had a new wall. All of the gates are now hung in place. The new temple is all but completed. And a sense of security is coming back to the people. And so living in Jerusalem sounds like a great idea. But the thing that we need to remember is this, is that the Israelites were never urban people. They never aspired to live in cities. They didn't imagine that it was a really good thing to live in cities, because cities at the time were largely built for the purposes of establishing authority and providing security. And so by and large, they became the principal target of anyone attacking a nation. And so in some ways, what was being offered here was like the worst outpost on the new frontier. So that's really what was being talked about here. So it's a bit like, you know, you're moving west across the continent of America, and, you know, there are these little places now called Fort Wayne, Fort Smith, Fort Worth, Fort whatever. And that wasn't a great assignment, I can tell you. It wasn't the place that everybody said, "Oh, great, let's go and live in Fort Smith," because you know, it was a picket wall, mud everywhere, animals, and every kind of person and lowlife, frankly, that would gather there. And so the people of Israel really weren't that excited about the idea of living in Jerusalem. They loved to visit Jerusalem, and they loved to go there to worship the Lord at the festivals, but it wasn't kind of like the premium real estate. And you can see that in the way that the rabbinical tradition in these years, or at least after these years — the rabbinical tradition didn't start until a little while after this, but really echoed this period. What the rabbinical tradition did is it showed that the idea of being a tradesman or a seller of any kind of goods was a second-rate profession. So the principle or the premium status within the land was a person who owned their own land, lived on their own land, and tilled the ground and developed their own harvests. But people who were purveyors of various different goods and tradesmen, as it were looked down upon. It wasn't until just at the time of Jesus and just after that trades were given any way an equal status in the mind of the people. So these folks who were coming to Jerusalem were taking the low path. They were taking the harder assignment. They were taking the more difficult frontier. And it says, the people commended them. And I wonder whether you find yourself commending others who can never fulfill the expectations of success within the church culture that we're part of. I wonder whether you ever commend those people, the people who go to frontiers where they can never have a large church, go to frontiers where, because of the many generations of no gospel presence, probably means that the best that they can do is to lay down their life as an offering, and maybe a generation later we'll see the results of what it is that they're offering. I wonder whether you commend people for that. Or I wonder whether you think to yourself, well, why don't they just go to a kind of suburb and have a big church? And the reason I ask this is because when we look at our nation here, the thing that we've done most successfully is to remove the church from all of the difficult places. The thing that the church here in America has done most successfully is to migrate away from the poor, migrate away from the minorities, and migrate away from the difficult communities. The reason we've done that is because it's easier. And it's more possible to be successful, and it's more possible to kind of create a sustainable ministry there. And, you know, there are whole urban areas that have been left to rot because there is no salt or light in them. And there are whole communities of minority populations who have been left either to no gospel witness or to a gospel witness that is so thin that we feel justified in criticizing them for their theology. It's almost like they can't win. And I wonder whether there's any sense in you that you would commend people for taking the reverse journey, the journey back to the city, the journey back to poverty, the journey back to cross-cultural ministry. I think people tend to do things for which they're honored, and they tend to do things for which they are encouraged, and they tend to do things for which they're blessed. And many of us are the product of a church that has abandoned the poor. And many of us are the product of churches that have abandoned the difficult areas. And we feel justified in looking at ourselves as a success. But the people of Israel looked at themselves as people who needed to do the difficult tasks as well. And if we're not going to do them ourselves, it would be a tremendously good thing, I think, to commend people for them. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your ancient people and the hard and sacrificial decisions that they made to take the low path, the work of least status, and the task that would produce the least potential for success. And thank you, Lord, that they did that for the purposes, Lord, of fulfilling your calling to all of your people. Lord, we pray that as we seek to fulfill your calling to disciple every nation and people group, we pray, Lord, that we would do the thing that you called us to do, and we would particularly commend those who hear the call to the lower path and to the more difficult work. We pray, Lord, that we might honor them and lift them up, And we pray, Lord, that we might change the way in which we measure and the way in which we celebrate the work of our ministry and mission, so that these people get the position of prominence and blessing and honor that they so rightly deserve. We pray for those among us, Lord, who've taken a low path. We pray for those among us, Lord, who've taken a difficult assignment. And we ask, Lord, that this day you'd strengthen their hearts and lift up their arms in the battle. And we pray, Lord, that as they fight on your behalf and on our behalf, we pray, Lord, that they would know that there are many in heaven that celebrate what they do, and that they would know that we commend them for their sacrifice. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.